back to the Black Is 10-Minute Break. Tonight's roundtable includes Mr. Tash Mosley, talent manager and film producer, Jay Lewis, our Black Is resident educator, Chris Lehman, my husband and support system, father and accountant, Malcolm Darrell, freelance theater producer, Toria Williams, a Los Angeles administrator, and finally, Stacey Brewer, our resident Black Is counselor. Tonight's topic on the table is homosexuality in the Black church. And of course, this topic comes to the table in light of the most recent Bishop Eddie Long scandal and the accusations by, I believe it was four young men accusing Bishop Long of, it wasn't really rape or molestation, but just having a homosexual relationship. So the idea of homosexuality in the Black church specifically, because I will say this. When I attend Chris's church, which cannot be defined as a Black church, babe, not really. First off, it's Presbyterian. Shout out to Knox Presbyterian Church in Ladera Heights. Knox is very, very diverse on all fronts, congregation, everything. And that was the first church I attended where I heard a minister say from the pulpit that the congregation needed to embrace people who were homosexual because there was no way you could have any positive influence on their life by condemning their lifestyle choice or what they feel to be how God made them. If you know, because that is how God made them. And so that was the first time I heard a man of the cloth say that. And it shocked me. It really opened me up to some things. I knew what my personal beliefs was. I didn't believe that it was right to ever tell somebody what they should or should not do because I'm not God. I don't have that say-so or power. But I to have a minister say that, somebody of such high influence, I thought was pretty forward-thinking and mind-blowing. So I'd love to hear from the panel, be it your church experiences, experiences of others, your personal beliefs.
Well, I guess my thing, belief is, if they condemn it as, you know, if we condemn it as we do, you're basically saying that's the greatest sin that somebody can commit. You know, so who would you rather invite into your church? Somebody who's homosexual or somebody who's a serial killer? Or somebody who has, who is a rapist? You know, are you saying that, well, I'd rather my son be a rapist than a homosexual?
As long as he's a heterosexual rapist.
Right. I mean, it gets to the point where it's, you're being told that God loves everybody, and we're supposed to follow what he's saying, but then we want to condemn whoever we want to condemn because we don't think what they're doing is right, you know, based on a book that, well, to me, is left up to interpretation.
And that, in my opinion, is the ultimate hypocrisy with religion, is that we're not supposed to place judgment, we're not supposed to condemn, but religion teaches us to do so by saying, if you don't follow this scripture, you're going to hell.
I think that's exactly what happens and why you have so many people that have mixed emotions about church because they feel as though they're going to be judged and criticized. But my own bishop just talked about it a couple of weeks ago about embracing everyone and that none of us can judge. But I think it goes beyond homosexuality. The single mother is looked down upon. The single mother of three, four different baby daddies.
Good point.
So that's what turns people away from religion and puts this blanket of umbrella, almost make people scared to say they're religious today, even though I know my grandmother could say it. And if she said she was not a believer of God, everybody would have frowned. Now today, as Black people, if we say, I'm a believer, people kind of look at you like, you know, they're trying to take your money, they're judgmental, you can't do this. So, yeah, definitely, I'm kind of stuck, but I agree.
I agree. I think also the problem becomes is even if you accept these people, whether it's single mothers or homosexuals, whoever's different and not living their life according to the scripture, it's the idea of changing them and not being okay with the decision and the, like you said, the judgment that, okay, now you're here now, that's fine, and we're glad you're here now, but you must live your life according to this doctrine. Mm-hmm. And there is going to be an absolute schism if the doctrine says you should not lie, you should not covet someone else's wife, mm-hmm. and you say in the church, well, oh no, I'm going to continue doing that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, and so how can you be homosexual in a church that preaches that it's an outright sin and you shouldn't continue doing it and then still be true to yourself?
So now the question is, can you be homosexual and Christian? Is it possible?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. That's no different than saying, can I be a sinner and a Christian, I think.
Right.
You know.
But the question is, what if you're a sinner and you're like reveling in the sin and you want to continue in the sin? Like, are you really a Christian? Like, have you devoted your life? I'm playing devil's advocate in this. Mm.
Because in that case, you're almost saying, well, I'm just going to sign up for a life of hypocrisy.
Right.
Okay, so John Bird of Sickly Cat Mag, editor-in-chief, he has to chime in on this conversation, of course.
I'm questioning a lot of my beliefs right now as it pertains to the scripture, but my understanding of the scripture draws me to question the possibility of homosexuality and Christianity existing in the same place at the same time. I think the Bible is quite clear on its condemnation of homosexuality. It does not ever show hatred for homosexuality, but it does condemn it. So I have questions of how you can have those two existing at the same time without hypocrisy. So I'm just a little confused as to how that equates.
No, it makes sense, because I mean, you don't, supposedly the person who wrote the book, you can't ask them. The one person you would like to ask, you basically have to pray to him to ask, but you don't get a immediate response.
But I don't think it even requires that. The Bible's pretty clear on homosexuality. Not that it's any worse than, I think that's what the problem is. I think a lot of people who claim to be Christian are trying to elevate one sin above the other, mm-hmm. saying, oh, homosexuality is just, it's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You cannot repent from it, blah, blah, blah. It's the worst sin ever. And that's not in the Bible either. But it is very clearly stated as a sin, and any sin that you continue in mm-hmm. is going to be, you know, counter Christianity. So,
but like working on the Sabbath is a sin. So everyone who
actually
works,
that's not true.
In the Old Testament, you don't get stoned if you work on the Sabbath.
See, but are we talking about Judaism or are we talking about Christianity?
Well, no, even still, it's I mean, this is where it becomes like an arbitrary system. If this is the scripture and you're supposed to follow it, and the Old Testament says, yo, you work on the Sabbath, you get stoned, why am I to follow I'm supposed to follow the scripture? Why is it your prescription of how I should follow? Oh, no, we're just going to focus on Matthew. We're just going to focus on this.
Well, the New Testament kind of really arbitrary. How the Old Testament is a foreshadow of a new covenant. And
according
the new covenant, according to Jesus.
No, but according to this.
No,
is,
according
no,
to
I'm
Jesus.
Just saying, no. The New Testament does this, and it has more weight according to who?
Not more weight. It's a different contract. It's a completely different covenant.
But why wouldn't you follow both contracts?
Because one, I didn't want to get in.
Why wouldn't you follow both contracts?
No, come on, man.
It seems like your system of figuring out the contract. Your system seems just arbitrary to me. That's all.
So I guess we're getting into a discussion of hermeneutics at this point. How do you interpret the scripture? But I think the New Testament. See, now we're getting, this is a theological.
I'm being very sincere. Like
From a biblical perspective, are you saying that there is a question as to whether homosexuality is acceptable in God's eyes?
No, I'm saying, how do we differ between the acceptability of homosexuality in God's eyes and the acceptability of working on the Sabbath?
Well, you're talking about two completely different religions.
So we don't need the Old Testament? We could just focus on the New Testament?
Christians are not bound by the Ten Commandments, not bound by any of that.
So Christians aren't bound by the Ten Commandments?
If you believe the Bible, then no, you're not.
Because Jesus came that you wouldn't be condemned by the law, and that the law is what the Israelites, and that's what they follow. They follow the law. And so that's why
why do we, as Christians, why do you guys even have the Old Testament?
Because it's absolutely part of Jesus's lineage and his genealogy. So it's like,
you can learn the nature.
I feel like it's a more complicated discussion.
I have issues on whether I believe the Bible in and of itself, but you learn the nature of God through the Old Testament and through the New. But the history and the foundation of Christianity is in Judaism.
Absolutely. And that's the difference between Jews and Christians. And the thing about the Old Testament is that was how God had meant for his creation to live. What God realized was that man was always going to screw up. Right. So he sent a sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ, right? And this is what Christians believe. And that's why we don't live under the law. We believe that you are forgiven and that you don't have to, perform all these rituals and be under the Sabbath and the things that Jude...
You don't Jude have did. To, but you doing know. So would be what? In accordance with how God would want you to live?
What I'm saying is when Jesus came, he paid the sacrifice. So that's what Christians believe, that you don't have to submit to any of those rituals or traditions of the Old Testament because Jesus came and paid the ultimate sacrifice, which is why, to bring it back to the topic, I find this conversation and the topic very difficult because I don't think that Christians... first of all, I think that the religious right has politicized Christianity to the point that it moves away from the tenets. Jesus Christ loved everyone. Mm-hmm. And the probably the angriest you saw Jesus Christ in the Bible was when he went and people were selling and trying to cheat people in the mm-hmm. temple. Because mm-hmm. he was like, this is a house of worship. Mm-hmm. And I think what ends up happening is we miss all the fact that Jesus is love, right? You get 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest thing is love. Mm-hmm. And that love endures all things. Love never fails, which is what Jesus' whole ministry was about. I think the theology is so complicated that I wouldn't want to even give it a cursory explanation right now because I think that's unfair to both sides. But I will say that I think that Christianity and evangelicals and conservative Christians, there's a homophobia that exists mm-hmm. that doesn't allow for an intelligent discourse mm-hmm. about the topic.
Like we're having now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, because there's just such a fear, right? But there really needs to be a serious discussion about it. And because there are people who absolutely believe that this is how they were born. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what you say. You can't tell somebody you're not born that way. How do you know? It's like you're not being loving. Mm-hmm. You're not being sensitive and compassionate to that circumstance.
So why would that demographic accept Christianity at all? And that's where I think the hypocrisy comes from a homosexual community that claims to be Christian. If Christianity is counter their whole way of life. Well, not whole way of life. That's the thing, that's their sexuality is their entire way of life. But it counters their sexuality.
But in a sense, it's like, how do you feel your spiritual need? Not the religion, but how do you feel that spiritual need?
Right.
Well, I'm in America. This is the main religion. Mm. I'm not allowed here. And probably most likely, you won't be allowed in any other religion.
Well, I mean, I'm a black man. I personally would not choose to be a member of the Mormon church. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, you have choices. Why choose Christianity, or Judaism for that matter, or Islam, when it blatantly and outright condemns your lifestyle?
Well, it's hard because if I look at my complexion, I'm taught at a stage, this is the religion I need to go into. I mean, at some point you get to choose, but when I'm 10, I don't get to choose. I get mm-hmm. bombarded with it until I gain the right to choose where I want to go. But by then, I've been
indoctrinated.
Fed this. Yeah.
But I mean, even still, it's like Christians. It's so much more complicated because I go to a Bible study and the pastor, he's really cool and he's really real, and he always asks, "How many of you cursed this week?" And almost everybody raises their hand, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a filthy mouth that these Christians are not supposed to have. Mm-hmm. Or how many people have had premarital sex? Mm-hmm. And hands go up. And I'm thinking to myself, so these are still sinners saved by grace. So that's why I say the it's very complicated. And I know we had this conversation before about mm-hmm. condemnation. I truly believe that I'm not in a place to condemn that lifestyle that all of us, I truly believe, will stand before God one day and have to have our own testimony.
But condemning it and saying
whether something is right or wrong from a biblical perspective.
Yes, but the Bible also talks about there are things that we as human beings, our brains can't even comprehend and understand. So I figure...
And is homosexuality one of those?
I don't know. I'm saying there's... It's such a crazy topic right now, and it's such a contentious moment in our history that it makes me wonder, like, well, what is God's stance on the whole thing? Because there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that's interpreted. I mean, we're supposed to be slaves.
True. In one interpretation. As a descendant of Ham, yeah.
We're supposed to be slaves.
You know what I mean? So the descendant of Ham, the fact that there's no way that there's nothing in the Bible that associates that with African people. Nothing in the Bible that associates Ham with.
And it says slaves obey your masters. So nothing about us should have been trying to be emancipated.
Okay, now here's my
question. I don't really want us saying this on tape.
Okay.
Can we not bring that back to the... I'm playing. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I think the definition for slavery in a new world, the new world definition for slavery is completely different than the old world definition for slavery. Associated the word slavery with what happened to our ancestors, and the word as it was used before that
is different.
Had nothing to do with that.
I'm absolutely a slave to Jesus Christ because I submit to his lordship.
Yeah, we should have invented a new word for what happened to our ancestors.
Right.
Because slavery does not represent
that. To me, that's part of the problem. You're reading a book that is written a long time ago.
True.
And if you say, well, we need to interpret it now, well, I can interpret it how I want. Mm-hmm. Nobody can say you have to interpret it this way.
So are we saying that there's a different definition for the word homosexual?
No, you know what? I want to jump in real quick because I know that in the scripture that it talks about it being, or it's being condemned, right? That was in the dispensation of law, right? That was at the time when Christians were trying to lay down from a legal standpoint. Is that correct? And homosexuality comes up as an inappropriate relationship in the dispensation of law. But now that we have come to the dispensation of grace, the conversation that we are now having about how it is that homosexuality can coexist with Christianity is that this grace is that thing that's supposed to be the blood of Christ over all of those of us who claim to be sinners. Now, having said that, and somebody who is also questioning and has questioned for quite a bit, and Kimmy knows this about me, the religious piece, because the humanity, or even actually the better way to say it, the dehumanization of a homosexual in a Christian church is because of the text. Mm-hmm. The interactions that you might have with a single sister or brother, that might be a very different thing, a very righteous thing. You know what I'm saying? But I have to tell you that part of the reason why, if someone came up to me and said, are you a Christian? I would say, no, I'm not a Christian, is because the text does say, even though it was in the dispensation of law, that homosexuality is an abomination. If I am a dyke, then that is a contradiction to how I get down in the world. But that doesn't mean that I am without spirit or even acknowledging a spirit or even my concept of God. And that right there is the part that I get pissed about. I don't need mass Christianity to hijack God for me, because that's basically what they're saying. But if the Bible, whether it is the Old Testament and the basis for the Judaism, or New Testament, the basis for Christianity as we know it, I shy away from any ancient text that's not going to include my humanity, even if it is a manifestation of sin in one respect. But in Native American mythology, there is both the male and the female that exists within. And if you have a homosocial relationship with someone, that's not against their text. But the biblical text, I have to walk away from it. I have to, kind of back up off of it and continue to position myself critically, because so much of it is contradictory.
I agree, and that doesn't just apply to homosexuals.
You're right, it doesn't. Exactly. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Which is one of the reasons I've backed away a little bit. Okay. That's one of the reasons I backed away a little bit, because of how I did not see it play out, some of the promises play out in everyday life. Mm-hmm. So, you might struggle with the contradictory elements with sexuality. With everything else.
Okay.
Right.
Everything else. If we had longer, we could talk about those things.
Everything else
is right.
Right.
But I respect that point.
Right.
I just,
I just don't.
But
like
I hear you. I hear you, and I neither do I. And I have a brother-in-law who I love dearly, who is a ministerial servant, and he is a Jehovah's Witness, and we too have these conversations about the respecting of ancient texts. So we have talked extensively about the Quran and the Torah and any other ancient texts that have come up that have been considered to be enlightened, or at least the authors of it have been enlightened. And he and I talk all the time. He's like, do you believe in God? And I tell him, right now, I believe in spirit, because spirit is the thing that I feel like I've got the most evidence of. God, I'm working on that right now. And I love this man, and I see his walk. He is a very faithful man. He is supposed to be this ministerial servant in the faith that he knows it. But I don't claim to be a Jehovah's Witness, though I was raised in that particular, you know what I'm saying, faith for a period of time. Same thing. Because the text, the ancient text with which the doctrine is based, is something that doesn't necessarily include my humanity, even though, you know, I love this man. He loves me. You know, he thinks the world of me. But I'm saying, you know, that angst I still feel too, John. You know, it's still jihad inside of me.
So. I think what that makes me want to do for our final podcast of the year is put just the topic of Christianity in the African American community overall on the table. Because yeah. I think I see in my generation there are less of us in our age range, so let's say 30 to 40, who are, I guess, beholden to church and religion and the Bible than, say, the generation before. Mm-hmm. So my parents, most definitely the generation before them. And so there's a reason why there's been this divide with us, because most of us probably grew up with some sort of religious foundation in a church home, but as we have gotten older, have made the decision to walk away or just study for ourselves and come to different conclusions about whether or not it fits for us. So anyway, we thank you all for chiming in and tuning in with us. Please check back in for the next Black Years 10-Minute Break. Thank you.